But tonight we're going to turn to God's Word together, and we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 15. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and he says in verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which at least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of double mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Last time we had looked together at Luke's Gospel, we had been considering some verses in Luke chapter 10, where we noted the parable of the Good Samaritan. We considered the context of that story, and also its content, and then we built it up to its climax. The Lord Jesus Christ had been asked a very important question. A man came to him and he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now this man was an expert in the law. He would have known the answer to his own question immediately before he ever asked it, but he was trying to catch the Lord Jesus Christ out. However, the question he asked is very important in the light of eternity, because men and women need to know how they can be saved. Men and women need to know how their sins can be forgiven and how they can have eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ used that parable, a story of great neglect and yet a story of great compassion, to challenge us and them about who really is our neighbor and how we ought to react to those all around us, that we might love them for Christ's sake and do all we can to reach them. Tonight we want to come to these verses then in Luke chapter 12, where you'll know we come to another parable, and this is the parable of the rich fool, sometimes referred to as a rich farmer. But however you look at this story, there are some very striking and some very important truths regarding this man, and this is a parable that we need to grasp. For I would suggest to you tonight, as we think of this parable and all that the Lord Jesus Christ sought to teach through it, that we're coming to a man who got it all wrong as far as life itself was concerned. And I'm absolutely convinced tonight that there are many in our province, maybe some even sitting in this meeting tonight, who have got it wrong when it comes to life with all its values, when it comes to how they live life and what they should be considering in the light of eternity. There are many tonight who are getting it wrong because they haven't listened carefully to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about life. And that's why we come to this parable tonight. This man here is making his way through life with the wrong attitude. He's entering into death without any hope. And of course, he goes out into eternity unprepared to meet his God. So let's look at these things tonight as time permits. And I'm going to mention three simple things. And you should be able to remember these. And I want you to remember them because they're vitally important in the light of eternity. The first is this. This man was so taken up with himself, he forgot about God. So taken up with himself that he forgot about God. Now, in the context of these verses, we note that the Lord Jesus Christ has been warning his own disciples to be wary of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And almost immediately, he goes on to speak about two things that were important to the Pharisees, two things that were vitally important to the society in which both they and the disciples lived, the society in which the Lord Jesus Christ ministered. And those two things, of course, were riches and covetousness. Here's what Jesus says in Luke 12, verse 15. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Now, that statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ would seem to be very much out of place even in our own society, where so many people have set their heart on riches, on possessions, on coveting things that they can't afford, and very often coveting things that other people have. But Jesus says here clearly, take heed concerning that. Beware of covetousness. Because your life and my life does not consist in the abundance of things that you and I actually possess. Jesus knew that there were those in his day who thought that if a man was very wealthy and had an abundance of possessions, then somehow he had gained great favor with God. In other words, they thought there must have been something good about this man, that God had blessed him so much, that God had looked upon him so favorably. They thought that this wealth that he had was a sign of God's blessing upon that individual. Now, when this man is given to us here in the pages of Scripture, there's no doubt he was a very wealthy man. And he was doing extremely well. Because it seems that everything he put his hand to seemed to go well. And there are some people like that in life. Everything they seem to turn their hand to, we use an expression, turns to gold. And we sit down and we sit and look at them and we say, where did I go wrong? What on earth happened to me? Why is it that I find myself in such a state? And look at him or her, everything they touch just seems to turn to gold. Jesus says, don't concern yourself about those things. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And this man had much. But the problem for this man is that the possessions that he had gained throughout his life had brought about his biggest problem. And it had led to a great mistake on his part because he was so taken up with himself, he forgot about God. It's always a dangerous thing in life when you're so preoccupied with yourself that you have no time to think about God. Now, you can understand in a measure why this man might have found himself in such a state. For as Jesus speaks the parable to them, he says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. This man had everything he needed. In fact, the truth is that this man had far more than he needed and far more than he would ever make use of. His business was flourishing. And we know that because Jesus goes on to say this, that he couldn't cope with what he had. He thought within himself saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This man has a great problem now. He's doing so well. He hasn't got the facilities to store up the goods that he has, and he has to come to the conclusion the best way out of this situation is for him to go on a building program. He says himself, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build bigger, and there I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And then he said, when I've got it made, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This man thought he had it made. All it needed on his part was an enlargement of his territory. If he was building bigger barns, something to store his goods in, he looked forward to the time when he could sit with his feet up and look forward to retirement. And with all his hard work way behind him, he could then go out into the future and launch into the future with this attitude in life, I don't need to do anything more. I'll sit down, I'll take my ease, I'll eat, I'll drink, and I'll be merry, and I'll reap the benefits of all my hard work. But I'll say again, he got it wrong. With all his ambition for the future and with all his plans, he got it wrong. He was so taken up with himself, he had forgotten about God. He was concerned only with the here and now. He was concerned only with what he could get out of life. And even though those things in themselves might have been quite legitimate, he made one great mistake. For everything he planned it without God in his life. That's a mistake. Young people, that's a grave mistake that you must not make. And I'm not picking on you young people by any means, but what I'm saying to you tonight is this. As you look at life and you seek to bring all your ambitions together and you plan for the future and you go through university and you look to all the things you want to do with the rest of your life, there is nothing wrong with that. That is quite legitimate. But do not exclude God from your plans. Don't be so preoccupied with yourself that you forget about him. And don't be so concerned about success that you forget about God, because one day you'll have to meet him. And don't be so preoccupied with your possessions and gaining and gaining and gaining to the exclusion of walking with God and perhaps in the process losing your own soul. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said it. That we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else will take care of itself. It'll fall into place. But you know, this isn't just a warning for young people starting out in the journey of life. This man here is a warning to older folk too, coming to the end of life. People who think they've got it made. People almost at the end of their journey. Retirement is fast approaching and they can look down through the corridors of time and they can think about the money they put away and the policies that are soon to mature and they can think of all the things they've planned to do in their retirement years. And in all the plans and in everything they've put together for the latter years, the one thing they've forgot about is their soul. No thought of God. No time for him. And everything else is in its proper place. And if they were swept away tonight, they're going to die without Christ and without hope. Because throughout all their planning in life, looking forward to their latter end, they never once thought about God. Not a picture of your life, man or woman. The years have been good to you. Life has treated you well. Perhaps you're already in those retiring years and life has never been better and you're sitting down and you're thinking about a wonderful future. Well, listen to this man for a moment and see what happened, because your future might not be as long as you think. He was so taken up with himself, he forgot about God. Here's the second thing. He was so taken up with life, he forgot about death. How do we know that? Well, listen to verse 19. For after all the building and after all the planning, and with too much prosperity and all his worldly possessions, here's what he said to himself. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This man really thought he had it made. And he thought with everything that was stored up that somehow he would just sit and enjoy the remainder of his life and he'd have no problems and no pressures, and what he had put away would keep him going for the rest of his life. And then the one he forgot about steps into the picture. And verse 20 says this, But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. If this man thought he could do without God, he needed to think again. If this man honestly believed that God had forgotten about him, he needed to think again. And as far as his life was concerned, and as far as his plans for the future was concerned, he was thinking of many years. God was thinking of that very night. And he was thinking only about his big account. And God was going to bring him to accountability. Oh, just listen to this again. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He's so taken up with living, he had forgotten about dying. But the fact is that death came to him just the same. And you'll note how that death came, because the Lord Jesus makes us abundantly clear of this parable. Because first of all, it was very sudden. God says, tonight, your soul is required of you tonight. Now understand that this man, with all that he had, with all his hard endeavor throughout his lifetime, he's thinking of many years. Many years. God was thinking of that very night. And this man, with all his plans, and this thought of a bright future, he didn't even have many days. The countdown had already begun. The writing was on the wall. And God said, tonight your soul is required of you. You grasp the importance of that? In a world of great uncertainty, where the only thing that is really certain is, my friend, man or woman, young person, you're not here to stay and one day you'll die. For it's appointed. The Bible makes that clear. Not the pastor. The Bible makes it very clear. We could be here today, literally gone tomorrow. Sitting enjoying this meeting, not realizing. And this is the solemnity of all of this. Not realizing that we might only be a step from death. You might have got up out of bed this morning, as we all do, and stood before the mirror and looked at yourself as you were dressing for going out. Maybe you said to yourself that you were a fine specimen. You were looking well. Cheeks were rosy. Hair or whatever was left was in its proper place. You thought to yourself, my, things have never been better. I've never felt better than I've ever felt. I feel today 20 years younger than I actually am. Well, you could feel well and look well, and perhaps never have felt better than you are right now. It doesn't alter the fact that you could just die like that. Go out into eternity. Tonight, thy soul is required of thee. As far as death was concerned for this man, it was very sudden. It was very solemn. For this rich man would die, it wasn't the end of the matter. Many people believe that when you die it is, but it's not. He thought he was prosperous, he thought he had plenty, he thought it was all his, and it wasn't. He was only a steward. He was accountable to God. And in taking care of the body, he had forgotten about the soul. And taking care of life, he forgot about death. And he didn't understand he had a soul that would last for the whole of eternity. Doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. Doesn't even matter if you've never thought about this or not. The fact is that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Call to accountability. Do you understand tonight that how you live will determine how you'll die? And how you die will determine where you'll be in eternity. You will either be in heaven with Christ, or else you'll be in hell without him. And I have to ask you this. If death came tonight to you or me as suddenly as this man that Jesus refers to in this parable, if it came to us suddenly, are you prepared to meet God? But Pastor Taylor, I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter. You'll still meet him. But Pastor, I've never thought about heaven. It doesn't matter. You'll miss it. But Pastor, I don't believe in a literal hell. Doesn't matter. You die without Christ, you'll be in it. That's solemn. And it's not just for a week or two or a month or two or a year or two until you get it all sorted out. When you're lost eternally. There's no hope of change. And there's certainly no reprieve. And that's what makes this matter a matter of the utmost importance. This man in Luke 12 is a very interesting character. He was so taken up with himself, he forgot about God. So taken up with life, he forgot about death. But it came just the same. And here's the third thing very quickly. He was so taken up with his accounts, he forgot about accountability. As the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in this parable, we read these moving words. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, not only is death not the end of our existence, but not one of us will take with us anything that we have in this life. Nothing. Pastor, what about my home? Well, that's your concern. Someone will live in it when you're gone. It won't be you. Pastor, what about my money? Somebody will enjoy it when you're gone. It won't be you. You see, when it comes to death, and that is something that none of us can avoid, we need to understand that after death, there's judgment. There's a day of accountability, and we reap whatever we sow. Could you imagine if tonight the writing was on the wall for you or me? Call to accountability. And with almost anything and everything that this world could give, and we work tirelessly and long hours to the neglect of our health and neglect of our family and the neglect of so many things, but we did it all because we had to do it, and then it comes to the end of the journey, and when we are called to accountability, everything we had we've left. And what God's interested in are all the wasted years that we lived without Him. All the priceless opportunities that we rejected that we might know Him. And this man was planning and scheming and preparing for the day when he'd enjoy the rest of his life. In a moment of time, he's taken away from everything he held dear to his heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, then whose shall these things be? Well, they were his. But he wasn't there to enjoy them. They were his. But he'd been taken from them. And with all he accumulated, not a penny he carried out into eternity. Wouldn't it have been so much better had this man planned to meet God instead of making his plans to store up his goods? This reminds me of what the Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion when he asked a very solemn, searching question. He said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Is it worth it? The life you've lived? The possessions you have? The years you've wasted, the attitude you've displayed, the opportunities you've rejected, the number of times you've walked away from gospel meetings having been brought to the cross where a Savior died that you might live. Will it all be worth it if you lose your own soul? There's nothing worth losing your soul for. Nothing. The fact is that we all need something for eternity. We all need someone for eternity. And that's the one who died on the cross, who took our sin upon himself, who bore the shame, and who died our death, that we might stand forgiven at the cross. Do you know him? Have you trusted him? Ever found time for him? Your answer might be no. Tragically, eternally, no. Well, you take a look at this man when you go home. You read this parable again. And you put yourself in this man's shoes. And you ask yourself the question, is the life you're living really worth it? Not now. Not now. But when it comes to the great eternity. For this man was so taken up with himself, he forgot about God. That's the greatest mistake you'll ever make. A life that doesn't include God is a life that's not worth living. And he was so taken up with life, he forgot about death. And in all his plans for many years, God said, "Thou fool, tonight, your soul is required of you." He was so taken up with his accounts, he forgot about accountability. Don't ever forget. The time will come when you'll stand before God. So will I. And when we do, what will your account be? Lord, you know I work tirelessly night and day, and you look at all that I've accumulated. And you know about the house that I have. And you know what, I've left the family and you know all this. What about your soul? What about your soul? Lord, I never thought about that. Yeah. And that's why you'll slip out into a lost eternity. Don't forget about God. Don't forget about death. And don't forget about this day of accountability. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and prepare to meet God. Let's pray together. Just as we do that with our heads bowed, just you think for a moment of life, not your neighbor's life, nor the pastor's life, but your own life, and how you're living it, and how will it end, and where will you be? In eternity. Oh, if you don't know Christ tonight, trust him. And if I can help you do that, you talk with me. But don't go home without the Savior. Father, Your word comes to us with a tremendous challenge. For even though we are creatures of time, we must one day go out into eternity. And having listened to this parable and looked at this man, the question comes to all our hearts, eternity where? Oh God, our Father, we pray that by your Spirit and in your grace and mercy, you'll help us to consider life, death, and eternity, and that we might be wise unto salvation. We ask this all for our eternal good and for your glory alone.